How did I respond to the Athletics Buffalo Bills fan survey? I'm going to work through it today on Locked On Bills.
You are Locked On Bills, your daily Buffalo Bills podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, Bills Mafia? It's Joe Marino from the Draft Network, and I'm your host of Locked On Bills. Happy Monday to you, and thank you for making Locked On Bills your first listen every day, or if you're joining us on the YouTube channel, your first watch every day. Well, this is going to be fun today on the podcast, where each year The Athletic puts out a fan survey, and it's really fun to answer the questions in the survey and then also see the results of the survey. And I love The Athletic. I'm a subscriber, big fan of Tim Graham and Joe Biscaglia and all the outstanding coverage that they offer. And I love participating in this every single year. And so last year, I gave my answers as part of the podcast, and I'm going to do the same this year, except for this year, since we're on YouTube, I'm able to actually have the survey on the screen so you can see it and follow along with it. And of course, if you're just listening on the regular audio platforms, I will talk through it, and we'll have fun here on a Monday. And these questions are always very, very interesting to me, and I always have kind of a unique perspective on things. So I will talk through my answers, and hopefully this will create some good discussion that we can continue having in the Bills, the Locked On Bills Twitter community. If you haven't joined that yet, search for the Locked On Bills Twitter community, ask to join and hop in there. We have a lot of fun Bills discussions, and we carry on a lot of the conversations that I bring up on the podcast over there. So check it out. All right, so the first question on the Athletics 2022 Buffalo Bills fan survey is, how many regular season games will the Bills win in 2022? And my options are 8 or fewer, 9 to 10, 11 to 12, 13 to 14, or 15 to 17. I think the Buffalo Bills will win 11 to 12 games this year. That's kind of my expectation. I think they can win more. I think they can win 13 or 14. But I'm not going to predict them to achieve every win that they're supposed to get, right? There's going to be some hiccups along the way. They've got a tough opening stretch. You've got a new play caller that you're onboarding early in the season against some tough teams. You may or may not have Trey White. There's some early season dynamics where I think the Bills could start like 4-2 or something like that, and that wouldn't surprise me. But then in that middle stretch, they have a real opportunity to go on a run. So I think 11 to 12 wins is kind of safe. I can see 13 to 14. I don't think they'll win less than 11 games. That's how I see that one. Number two, what needs to happen for the Bills season to be considered a success? My options are make the playoffs, win the AFC East, make it to the AFC divisional round, make it to the AFC championship game, make it to the Super Bowl, or win the Super Bowl. I don't like any of these options, to be completely honest with you, because I'm not of the mindset of this being a Super Bowl or bust season. I never believe any team is ever in a Super Bowl or bust season. That's not appropriate to me. The NFL is a single elimination tournament. Only one team wins the Super Bowl. And so you can't have just one team every year that's successful and 31 others that are not because they didn't win the Super Bowl, or even a handful of other teams that were considered contenders that didn't win the Super Bowl and didn't. That doesn't mean their season was not successful. To me, the answer that I would love to give here is what would need to happen for the Bills to be considered, or for this season to be considered a success, would be, well, for the Bills to stay among the elite teams in the NFL. That's all I'm looking for, is that could mean they win the Super Bowl. That could mean that they lose in the Super Bowl. They lose in the AFC Championship game. I'm expecting a deep playoff run. I'm expecting them to make the playoffs and win the AFC East. But we have to acknowledge that there's a little bit of luck involved with achieving that end result in the form of just football is a high variance game and injuries matter a ton. So I don't love any of these options, but because I do want to see them go on a deep postseason run, I'll put make it to the AFC championship game. But I want to come out of 2022 feeling like the Buffalo Bills are among the elite teams in the NFL and that their Super Bowl window remains open. That's what I want to answer this question with. Number three, do the Bills have what it takes to win the Super Bowl in 2022? The answers are yes or no. The answer here is 1,000,000% yes. The Bills have all the ingredients necessary to win the Super Bowl. An elite quarterback that's surrounded by weapons with a good offensive line, a top-caliber defense, a coaching staff that can win. They've got a closer on that D-line in Von Miller now, some young up-and-coming players on the D-line, experienced secondary. Yes, the Bills have everything necessary to win the Super Bowl. I wish they were a little bit more stable at returner, but if that's like your biggest question, you're in pretty good shape. Number four, is 2022 the year the Bills will finally get past the Chiefs? Well, here's the thing. This is the way that I look at this. In 2021, last year, it's not the same as 2020. The Bills weren't as good as the Chiefs in 2020. We saw that in the AFC Championship game. In 2021, I watched the Buffalo Bills dismantle the Chiefs during the regular season, and let's face it, they probably beat them in the playoffs, right? If they just do normal stuff over the last 13 seconds of that game. Like, we went into 2021 wondering how big the gap was between the Bills and the Chiefs. We came out of 2021 understanding that the gap is gone. I think the Bills outplayed the Chiefs in both games. And the Chiefs have lost some stuff. They lost Tyreek Hill. They lost Tyrann Mathieu on their defense, their leader of that defense. They lost Javarius Ward. A lot of young players in that front seven. How good's their right tackle? What's Travis Kelce look like without Tyreek Hill? Do they have a running game that concerns anybody? I think the Chiefs have legitimate questions. So yeah, I'm putting yes, the Bills get past the Chiefs because I don't think they're behind them right now. The next one, number five. What is your confidence level in head coach Sean McDermott? And it's a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being not confident and 10 being fully confident. I'll give this a 9. I think Sean McDermott is an exceptional leader for the Buffalo Bills. He's had unprecedented success to start his time in Buffalo. He's taken this team to places we've dreamed of based on what we've come through. Now, I do think that he is responsible for the last two playoff losses to Kansas City. I think he's the most responsible. And he needs to grow and evolve from that. So that's why I don't give it a 10, because there's some concerns that have come up in those big moments, but my goodness, getting to those moments are things that we've dreamed of. So I'm giving it a 9. Number six, what is your confidence level in GM Brandon Bean? Again, 1 to 10. 10 being fully confident, 1 being not confident. I am giving this a 10, no question about it. No question about it. And I've gone back to this talking point a few different times where we came out of that divisional loss to the Chiefs last year and said things like, is this the best roster the Bills will ever have around Josh Allen? Did they squander their best opportunity in terms of having the most talent around Josh Allen? Brandon Bean said, bet. I'm going to enter the offseason over the cap. I'm going to be picking late in every single round in the draft, but I'm going to put a better team around Josh Allen this year than I did last year. Fully confident in this man. Brandon Bean is an exceptional NFL general manager. Folks, I need to tell you about BetOnline, the number one spot for all your online sports wagering and information. They've got everything you can imagine. Football's futures. They've got Major League Baseball, the fights, whether you like boxing or UFC. Golf is on there. I even bet on a Major League Soccer game last weekend. So much fun stuff to bet on. They also have the Vegas casino games. Check them out. It is a super easy to use website. You can use your desktop or your mobile device. It is a great interface. All the best odds and lines and props. It's BetOnline, and it's where the game starts. All right, let's move on to the next one here. Number seven, what is my confidence level in defensive coordinator Leslie Frazier? 1 to 10, again, 10 being fully confident, 1 being not confident. And Leslie Frazier's coached some really good defenses for the Buffalo Bills, and I think he's one of the better defensive minds out there. Now, I want to see his defense play better against better offenses, right? We saw it against Tampa last year. We saw it against the Chiefs in the postseason. We've seen him be deliberate about making some concessions about defending the run. I think there's room for him to improve and evolve, and I certainly don't appreciate the way that he had that defense lining up at the end of that game against the Chiefs. But I love so much of what he does schematically, especially with the back seven. I'm going to give this a 9. I think as a defensive coordinator, he's outstanding, but I don't give away 10s very easily, I'll tell you that. Number 8, what is my confidence level in offensive coordinator Ken Dorsey? Again, 1 to 10. Well, Ken Dorsey has a lot to prove, obviously, as a first-year offensive coordinator. You love that he's been around the guys for the last 3 years. You love that he's the guy that Josh Allen wanted. You love what you hear about his competitiveness. But he's got to prove himself. And he's got everything he needs. And that's what puts high expectations on Ken Dorsey. You have an elite quarterback, an offense that's been top three in scoring each of the last 2 seasons. The best offensive line I think the Bills have ever had in front of Josh Allen. Like, you've got what you need. Expectations are high. I'll give it a 7. I think a 7's pretty fair there. If 5 is like, okay, I'm cool. And 10's, I fully buy in. I think he's somewhere in the middle of that. But I'm excited for Ken Dorsey and his vision for this offense. Number 9, how concerned are you that the offense will take a step back without Brian Daboll? 1 is not concerned, 10 is fully concerned. Well, here's what's challenging about that. One of the things that annoys me about last season is how inconsistent the offense was really throughout the entire year. And that didn't make any sense because that was a situation where there was so much continuity from the coaching staff throughout the offensive personnel, and your defense was better. And to see the ups and downs of the offense last year really kind of rubbed me the wrong way, especially when you felt like you had so much continuity year over year to not have any hiccups and score 6 points against the Jaguars and, you know, the way that you looked against the Steelers in week 1. Even week 2 against Miami, I know the Bills won 35-0, but the Bills offense wasn't sharp. There were multiple times last year where the Bills offense just, it took a step back. So how concerned am I that the offense will take a step back without Brian Daboll? I'm excited for some new vision and new ideas and all the coaching acumen that's been added between Joe Brady and Mike Shula and Aaron Cromer. I'm not concerned at all, really. And I'm a Brian Daboll fan. You guys know that. I'm a big fan of Brian Daboll, but I can't get concerned about this. I'll give it a 2. Number 10. Not including Josh Allen, who is the Bills' most valuable player? Stephon Diggs, Dawson Knox, Deion Dawkins, Mitch Morse, Von Miller, Ed Oliver, Matt Milano, Tremaine Edmonds, Tre'Davious White, Taron Johnson, Micah Hyde, Jordan Poyer. I'm going to answer this through the lens of which of these players would I least want to see get injured? And that answer is Deion Dawkins at left tackle. That's the guy. That's the one player that I don't want to see get injured. And not that I want to see any of these guys not get injured, but if I could like pick one and guarantee it, you know, if you're up playing Madden, you turn the injuries off for one player, I'm going to pick Deion Dawkins. I just think he's such an important part of this offense. I think the trenches are important. And Stephon Diggs is probably number 2. But you can't get the ball to Stephon Diggs or Gabriel Davis or Jamison Crowder if you don't have protection. And I think Deion Dawkins plays a critical role in making sure that the width of the pocket is okay for Josh Allen. All these guys are very meaningful. Deion Dawkins isn't the best player out of the ones that I just mentioned, but he's the one that I think would represent the most significant loss, and therefore I think he's the most valuable player outside of Josh Allen. Number 11, who is the most overrated player on the roster? So I'll be honest with you, I didn't look ahead on any of this. I'm answering this stuff in real time. And so this is one that I maybe wish that I had a chance to look at. And so there are preset options here. Devin Singletary, Diggs, Davis, Knox, Deion Dawkins, Mitch Moore, Spencer Brown, Von Miller, Greg Rousseau, Ed Oliver, Tremaine Edmonds, Matt Milano, Tre'Davious White, Taron Johnson, Micah Hyde, Jordan Poyer. Those are all good players. Those are all good players. Which one do I think is the most overrated? This is tough. Overrated by who? I'm just going to put Devin Singletary. But I don't love my answer here because I don't know. I look at these players the way that I see them. And I don't have a lot of awareness to the way that they're perceived by other people. Now, I would say that there's some underrated players on this list that I think people should appreciate more. But I'm going with Devin Singletary. Don't have a good reason. I just feel like he's probably the least valuable player of all of these. I think he's got the least exciting skill set. And so the fact that he's on this list with these other players makes him overrated. Josh, number 12, Josh Allen had a career-high 122 rushing attempts in 2021. Do you think the Bills should dial back his rushing in 2022 to prevent injury? Yes. But I don't want to take away the scrambles, but what I want to do is kind of take away, I would love to take away some of the short yardage stuff. I really would. Now, I know he's so good at that, and the Bills would need a viable short yardage guy, and I don't know if Zach Moss is going to be that, but that's an area that I'd like to see it be a little better. And I'm excited for what James Cook can be here, right? You know, Josh Allen doesn't have to be his own check down. He can check it down to James Cook. So, yeah, of course, I want to see Josh run a little bit less. I don't want to see that go away because I think that's part of what makes him a dynamic player. But I want to see it more in scrambles than, you know, it's third and three and they got to run quarterback power to get a first down. I'd like to see a little less of that, especially during the regular season. Next one is, how many sacks are you expecting from Von Miller? 6 or fewer, 7 to 8, 9 to 10, 11 to 14, 15 plus. Man, I think it's either 9 to 10 or 11 to 14. This would be a little bit harder if the numbers were 9 to 11 and 13 to 15. I'll go aggressive here. I'll go 11 to 14, but I think it's probably 10 or 11. But I want to be a little bit aggressive, so I'll go with the 11. Number 14, excluding Von Miller, which free agent signing was most important? My options are Jamison Crowder, O.J. Howard, Roger Saffold, David Questenberry, Shaq Lawson, Daquan Jones, Tim Settle, Jordan Phillips. Some good options here. I think I have this narrowed down to Roger Saffold and Daquan Jones. But the Bills have done such a good job of making sure that there's depth behind those players that it makes it difficult for me to get overly nervous about either one. I'm going to go with Roger Saffold just because I'm so excited about the Bills having a high-caliber guard, and it's been a while since that's been the case. And you know, we've talked about how the guard position over the last several seasons has been a revolving door for this Bills team. So I'm very excited for Roger Saffold to provide this team with some very stable play alongside Ryan Bates. So we'll go with him, but I think hard about Daquan Jones, to be completely honest with you. And when you think about the amount of rushes that I think the Bills are going to face, I think teams are going to run the football a lot against the Bills this year. And so Daquan Jones matters a lot for that. But also, remember a few weeks ago when people asked me who the most concerning non-quarterbacks that the Bills face on the schedule are going to be? And I filled it up with all these defensive linemen, Jeffrey Simmons and Aaron Donald. You know, Chris Jones is on the schedule. You know, that's where Roger Saffold's impact can really be felt. So I'm going to go with Saffold, but I think hard about Daquan Jones. Number 15, which 2022 draft pick will make the biggest impact this season? And the 8 draft picks are there. Kyer Elam, James Cook, Terrell Bernard, Khalil Shakir, Matt Ariza, Christian Benford, Luke Tenuta, Baylen Spector. I think Kyer Elam is going to be a starting corner for the Bills. It's going to be him, in my opinion. I think James Cook will have a role in the offense. He'll matter. I think Bernard will be a nice sub-package player. Shakir might help on teams and get a few targets. Ariza might be the starting punter. I'm not sure the last three make the team. I pretty comfortably settle on Kyer Elam this time. Number 16, excluding wide receiver Gabriel Davis, which second or third year player will take a big step forward in 2022? You have Zach Moss, Marquez Stevenson, Spencer Brown, Tommy Doyle, Greg Rousseau, Boogie Basham, AJ Epinesa, Dane Jackson, or Damar Hamlin. Some good answers here. I wish that that Spencer Brown was healthy, because I would love to put him down. But I've kind of shared with you at this point that I'm a little concerned just because David Questenberry has been getting all the work at right tackle. I kind of want to say Greg Rousseau. You know, obviously a premium talent, a guy that was still new to the position last year, didn't even play football in 2020. Now he's working with Von Miller. I think it's going to be Rousseau. I really do. I think a lot of these players will take a step, but the biggest step could be Greg. And obviously he's already proven himself as a top-tier run defender, but I think you'll see him make a bigger impact as a pass rusher. Number 17, who will lead the backfield in snaps and touches in 2022? Singletary, Cook, Moss, or Duke Johnson? I think it's Devin Singletary. I really do. I think Devin Singletary will probably touch the football 10 to 13 times a game, and James Cook will touch it 8 to 10, something like that. So Devin Singletary, assuming everyone's healthy. Number 18, which player will be the Bills' primary third receiver in 2022? Jamison Crowder, Isaiah McKenzie, Khalil Shakir. I think it's Jamison Crowder. I really do. I think that Jamison Crowder, I don't know that he gets 100-plus targets like we've seen for Cole Beasley, but I think he gets 80, 85, 90, something like that. And you see Isaiah McKenzie more in that 50 to 70 range. So, and then Shakir is probably a 20 to 40 target guy, maybe. I think it's Jamison Crowder pretty comfortably. Number 19, if you had to guess which projected starting offensive lineman gets benched this year, my options are Dawkins, Saffold, Mitch Morse, Ryan Bates, Spencer Brown, and then none. All five will go coast to coast, barring injury. Well, I'll say this. If Spencer Brown wins the right tackle job, I think he's going to hold on to it. But David Questenberry's the most interesting backup. And you've got these other four guys. I mean, they're all paid players. Those are starters. Dawkins, Saffold, Morse, and Bates. Those guys aren't going out of the lineup unless they just fail, which I don't foresee happening. I'm tempted to go with none. But I think about Spencer Brown just because I get nervous about him being injured and David Questenberry. But if he wins the job, that means he's healthy. I'm going with none. I'm going with none because if this was David Questenberry at right tackle, that's the only spot. That's what I'll say. Right tackle is the spot where I think there's a chance, but I'm going to go with none. The next one, which young defensive end will have the most sacks in 2022? Rousseau, Basham, or Epinesa? I think this will be definitely Rousseau. I think Rousseau could have 8 sacks this year, and I don't know, maybe 6, 7, 8, something in that range. And Basham and Epinesa might have 3 or 4 each, something like that. I think this would be very clearly Rousseau. Number 21, if it meant a legitimate salary increase for next year from his current $2.8 million, do you think the Bills should re-sign Devin Singletary for 2023 at least? No, I don't. I don't think that way at all. Devin Singletary is a low priority re-sign for me. If they bring him back, you know, it should be about 1 year, $3 million, something like that. But I'm not overly concerned about this at all. I like to use the Bills' resources in other ways to help the roster. Number 22, if you had to make the call right now, do you think the Bills should re-sign Tremaine Edmonds to a long-term extension? Yes or no? Well, sure, yeah, yes is the answer to me, but I'd like to have some more information here. Would I like to sign him to a 4-year, $50 million contract extension? Yes. Would I like to sign him to a four-year $70 million? No. Like, there's a dollar amount here that I have to be comfortable with, but I think conceptually, I do want the Bills to re-sign Tremaine Edmonds. He's a young player. He's the leader of the defense, as we've heard Leslie Frazier and Sean McDermott say time and time again. He's got a rare physical skill set. And the Bills have been a really friggin' good defense with him being the middle linebacker. I'm excited to see him continue to evolve with this team. Number 23, given that he is entering his age 31 season, how would you address the Jordan Poyer contract situation? Make him play out his contract as is. Let him hit free agency in 2023. Give him a pay bump for 2022. Let him hit free agency in 2023. Give him a contract extension to keep him through at least the 2023 season. Trade him before the season. You know, this Jordan Poyer stuff's really fascinating to me because as I dug into that Tyrann Mathieu thing, I really wonder what the market for Jordan Poyer is going to be. Even if he has an awesome season this year, right? He's going to be age 32 season, and all that Honey Badger could find was 3 years, $28 million with a way better resume than Jordan Poyer. That's all he could find. I might play his bluff and say, hey, man, you know, you can play this out and see if you can find what you're looking for in free agency next year. But if you don't find it, we got this here waiting for you, and we'd love to have you back. But what I really like here out of these options is give him a contract extension to keep him through at least the 2023 season. That marries him up with Micah Hyde. And so I think there's probably a way to get that done. You got about $5 million in cap space. Again, I don't know what the magic number here is. To me, it's around $12 million. That's where it should be. And so can you give him an extra $2.5-3 million this year? Figure out a way to kind of absorb that again next year and keep this safety tandem together through at least next season. That sounds intriguing to me, but the more I've thought about this, the more I'm inclined to say, hey man, go see if you can find what you're looking for. And if not, because I don't think you will, you've got this waiting for you. But again, I don't know what Jordan Poyer's number is. I wish I did. I wish I knew what his number was. Number 24, which impending free agent should be the priority to extend past 2022? And the options are Dawson Knox, Tremaine Edmonds, Jordan Poyer. I go with Tremaine Edmonds. I think he's the hardest player to replace of those three. And he's a draft pick. He's young. He's talented. I would put Dawson Knox at two and Jordan Poyer at three. And the last one, if you could only pick to re-sign past 2022 due to cap constraints, which player would you let walk in the 2023 season? It's the same options. Dawson Knox, Tremaine Edmonds, Jordan Poyer. I will pick Jordan Poyer because he's going to be 32. And the Bills, or not the Bills so much, is Sean McDermott, Leslie Frazier, John Butler. They've proven time and time again their ability to get production out of safeties. I want to keep the young players that the Bills drafted if it has to be that way. All right, folks, hope you enjoyed. I certainly did. I enjoy doing this every year. Need to hit submit here and make sure that it's calculated. So there you go. There's my answers. Thanks for participating. You know that it was legitimate and this was fun. Tomorrow on the podcast, we are going to look at the Buffalo Bills through the fantasy football lens. I'll be joined by fantasy expert Jamie Eisner, and we are going to break down this Bills team from a fantasy perspective. So if you're getting ready for your fantasy league, this is one that you won't want to miss. And Jamie always has really good perspective on market share and how players will be used in projecting them forward. So don't miss that. Make sure you're subscribed. Would love it if you took a second to rate, review, and share the podcast. Have a great rest of your day, and I look forward to catching up with you again tomorrow.